The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Refuah Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefana lo, en narefana lo, en narefana lo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with Arichut Yamim, health, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be Zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by David and Ilana Meyer from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in honor of the rabbi. David has left a message that we will read. Although you are far from us, your teachings and guidance light up our lives. You have glorified and made beautiful our holy Torah and our wonderful Sephardic heritage. May God always grant you from the abundance of His goodness, and may you continue to be a light unto all your students and to all of Israel. Amen. Ken Yerason. Thank you, David, and Be'ezat Hashem, Borei Olam will bless you and your dear wife with children. Be'ezat Hashem, Shavat Torah, Muslachat, Berachat, Slacha, Orech Yamim, Osher Vechavod. Amen ve'amen. Daf Bet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat, Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today, Masechet Bet. From the first Mishnah, right on Daf Bet. There is a question amongst the Mefarshiyat Talmud, what exactly is the name of our Masechet? Traditionally, we call the Masechet, Masechet Betzah. Others call it Masechet Be'ah, saying that the word Betzah would not be Lashon Nikiyah. It's not a clean language, Betzim, and therefore they refer it, they say Be'ah. Others call the Masechet, Masechet Yom Tov, since the Masechet talks about the laws of Yom Tov. In any event, our Mishnah begins, Betzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov. You have an egg that was born, obviously from a chicken, on Yom Tov. Bet Shammai Omrim Te'achel. Bet Shammai says you're allowed to eat the egg. Ubet Hillel Omrim Lo Te'achel. And Bet Hillel says you can't eat the egg. Actually, the Tosafot explains that while the Mishnah uses the terminology eating and not eating, the real question is it mukseh or not mukseh? And therefore, we're going to wait for the Gemara to give us the rationale, why should it be Mukseh or not Mukseh, but it comes out over here an exceptional case where we see Bet Hillel is actually the Mahmir. Normally in Shas, Bet Hillel is the Mekel, is the lenient opinion. Over here is one of the cases where Bet Hillel takes the more stringent opinion and says that the egg that was born from the chicken on Yom Tov, Lo Te'achel, mean do not eat it. And that's the normal thing you do with an egg. But as Tosafot explains, the entire egg is Mukseh. Just to review it, Mukseh is items, whether it's Shabbat or Yom Tov, that are forbidden to handle, to move. And there's different forms of Mukseh, and we'll see exactly what type of Mukseh the egg falls into. So that is the first Mahloket. Now we get to another Mahloket, unrelated. The only reason why we discuss the second Mahloket is because it's another case where Bet Hillel is stringent and Bet Shammai is lenient. And the next case is Bet Shammai Omrim Seor Bekezayit Vehames Bechakotevet. Regarding the law of Pesach, the Torah says that on Pesach one is not allowed to eat Seor. Seor is a leavening agent. Of course, it is asur to eat seor, but seor is more severe than hametz. Because a leavening agent, not only itself is hametz, but it could make something else hametz. For example, you put that sourdough, we'll call it, into another dough, and it's able to cause it to rise. So therefore, the shi'ud of seor is going to be a kezayit, which is a small shi'ud. So machloket is a kezayit, half of a betzah, or a third of a betzah. In any event, Bet Shammai says seor, we're strict on. However, v'hametz b'chakotevet. Hametz is something that is hametz, but it does not have the strength to make something else hametz. So let's choose chakotevet, that is a shi'ud of a date, which is bigger than a kezayit. Ubetelel omrim ze vaze bekezayit. Betelel again is mahmir. He says both Seor and Chametz to be Hayav is on the smallest shiur of a Kezayit. And now we go to the third Mahlok. And again, unrelated to the previous two cases, where you see a third case where Bet Hillel is Mahmir and Bet Shammai is Mekel. Hashochet Chayav Ha'ov B'Yom Tov. One that slaughters an animal, bird, on Yom Tov, which means on Yom Tov, it is permissible the melakot of Ochel Nefesh. As opposed to Shabbat, one is forbidden to prepare food on Shabbat. Certainly one is not allowed to slaughter food and prepare it. However, on Yom Tov, the Torah gives a dispensation to prepare food. So Shehita would be technically permissible on Yom Tov. Now, once a person shochet an animal, now he has the obligation of the Mitzvah Kisui Hadam, where he has to take dirt and he has to cover the blood. So the case over here is, he's shuhet chayav ha'ov b'yom tov, Bet Shammai omrim, yahpor b'deker v'chaseh. Bet Shammai says, let him take the shovel, and let him, you know, take the dirt, and let him cover the blood. Yahpor b'deker. Now, Bet Hillel omrim, lo yishchot. Bet Hillel says, no, don't get involved. Don't slaughter the animal. Ela imkin haya lo afar mukhan mibe'od yom. Unless she had already afar that was prepared before Yom Tov. Which means like this. Getting involved in Kisui Adam can run yourself into certain problems in the halakha. Mm-hmm. Number one, you're digging. That can be a problem of chofer.
Right.
Digging a hole could also be a problem of boneh. The dirt, which is hard by, you know, granulating it, it can be a problem of kohen. And therefore, there's a lot of problems involved in making this mitzvah Kisui Adam.
Right.
So the opinion of Bet Hillel is, listen, if you prepared the afar from before Yom Tov, meaning you dug it already, you designated it, it's granulated, and therefore you got rid of all the isurim, then you're allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov, because there's no isur in now making the mitzvah Kisui Adam. Already you prepared the afar, there's no problem with mukseh as well. However, according to Bet Hillel, if you didn't prepare, so then already we're not going to let you slaughter and then get involved in the mitzvah Kisui Adam. Umodim, however, even Bet Hillel agrees, Shim Shahat b'di'avad. If the guy did slaughter, Shiyahpor b'deker v'chaseh. That indeed you can cover the afar, you can cover the blood. The Gemara is going to say, Yahpor b'deker, the case is talking where the deker actually was in the dirt from before Yom Tov. And therefore, it's going to alleviate some of the problems. So again, we're not going to get into the details of all these cases, just to get the simple point of the case, that if the deker was in the dirt, meaning it's thrusted in the dirt before Yom Tov, and b'di'avad, you're slaughtered, then already Bet Hillel is lenient, he lets you cover the blood. Now, the last point of the Mishnah is not related actually to the last line here, She'efer kira mukhanu. The Mishnah says, because the efer, the ashes of an oven are prepared. Who's talking about ashes? Who's talking about ovens? So the Gemara will explain that we're discussing over a case where you made shechita on Yom Tov and you need to make Kisui Adam. So they tell you that Bet Hillel will allow you to use the ashes of the oven. That's a good item to use for Kisui Adam. You'll tell me it's mukseh. It's going to say no. Once already there's ashes in the oven, it's considered prepared for that usage. And therefore it's as if it's in the person's mind before Yom Tov comes in that you're going to use it for things that you need, which is, for example, Kisui Adam. So the Mishnah is just telling you, Efer Kira Mukhanu. You should know that if it came down to it that you need to use the Efer of the Kira, don't worry, it's Mukhan, it's not Mukseh, and you can use it. Again, we'll wait for the Gemara to give us the, you know, the analyzing all these cases. So let's review again. Our Mishnah basically discusses three situations. It discusses the case of Betzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov, Machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. It discusses the case of Hametz and Seor, again Machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel on the Shi'ur that one is going to be Hayav, and then the Shechita on Yom Tov, followed by Kisui Adam, Machloket Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, and then the Gemara Mishnah concludes the Bidi'avad of Bet Hillel. If you did slaughter, it's okay. If the Dekir was in the Afar, and Efer Kira Mukhanhu. And now the Gemara begins to analyze the Mishnah. Gemara b'mai askinan. Okay, you told me you have a betza shenolda. Now obviously it was born from a chicken. What type of chicken are we talking about? Now there are two types of chickens. There's a chicken that's omed la'achila, That's a chicken that's designated for eating purposes, where you're going to slaughter it and eat it. There's another type of chicken that's omed lebetzim, which means it's really a laying egg chicken designated for that, and really you don't eat it. So the Gemara is going to analyze which one of the two chickens is the Mishnah talking about. Am I asking on what's the case of the Mishnah? If it's a chicken that goes into Yom Tov, designated for Achila purposes, my tamayu de betelil. How could betelil say that the egg is mukseh? Why? Uchla de afratu. It's considered food that has separated from food, which means just like the tanegolet itself is not mukseh, right? The tanegolet is not mukseh; it's food. Could I slaughter this tanegol on Yom Tov? Certainly. Could I eat it? Of course. It's omedet la'achila. And therefore, it would be analogous to a person having a loaf of bread. Okay? It's complete. Now I cut a slice of bread. Can I eat that slice of bread?
Of course.
It came from bread. Something that comes from food is considered food. It's ukhla de'ifrat. It's considered food that's separated from food. And therefore, this egg over here, since it was attached to the mother, which was considered ochel, so it's considered ochel that's separated from ochel. There's no mukseh on that. When do we see a case where you have food that is mukseh? It's no different than cutting a slice of bread. Rashi's lashon is uchla de ifrat, ochel shenifrad, food that was separated. Tosfot also says pirush ochel nifrad mina ochel da betza shenolda bedifredai mina tanegolet. Which means you could have slaughtered the whole chicken and eaten it while it was in the inside. Which means if you slaughtered the chicken, the egg is also considered part of the chicken, it's considered food. So what's the difference if it came out? Came out, it's also considered food that's separated from food. So therefore the Gemara is asking, if the case is talking about a tanegolet that's omedet la'achila, why in the world should Bet Hillel be mahmir? There's no mukseh in such a case. The Gemara says, "Ela betanegolet haomedet legadel betzim." Must be talking about the other case where it's a chicken that's not omedet for achila. It's really omedet for its eggs. Okay, so if it's omedet for its eggs, the Gemara says, "My ta'amayu de bet shamay." How could Bet Shammai be lenient? Because he's allowing you, again, you have a chicken, it's not omed achila. So technically the chicken itself, you cannot use it on Yom Tov. Right? Now you have this egg that comes out of it on Yom Tov. Bet Shammai is telling you, eat it, it's not mukseh. What do you mean? How could that be? Mukseh. It is mukseh. Now, what type of mukseh are we talking about? The mukseh that we're discussing over here would be a mukseh called nolad, which means like this. This chicken was not on the person's mind going into Yom Tov. He knows it's off limits. He cannot eat it. It's not omed achila. If it was on his mind going into Yom Tov, then it's not mukseh, because his mind is on it. And the rules of mukseh are, if the person had intention to use the item on Yom Tov or Shabbat, and it went into Shabbat with his intention to use it, then it's not mukseh. This chicken over here, it's not omed achila. He knows it's off limits to him. He cannot slaughter it. He cannot eat it. Good. But what about the egg that's in its womb? Well, the guy's not thinking about the egg that's in its womb. It's not here yet. It's inside. He doesn't even know if there's an egg inside or not. After all, chickens don't give birth to eggs every day. And therefore, all of a sudden, when this egg surfaces on Yom Tov, we consider that mukseh. But what form of mukseh is this? Nolad. Nolad is something that was created on Shabbat or Yom Tov that was not there from before, or at least a person did not anticipate it or know that it was there. And the Gemara is assuming that even Bet Shammai holds of the concept of nolad. And therefore you tell me it's a betza, it's a tanegolet that's omedet for the betzim. No, it's omedet for the eggs. In the chicken itself is off limits. Ela what? What's inside of it? What's inside? We have no idea what's inside of it. The guy before Yom Tov, he doesn't know that there's an egg in there. Is going to surface or not going to surface? So the Kaura Bet Shammai should say, lo te'achel, it should be mukseh. So the Gemara says, hold it. Umay kushya. That's your question? What's the question? Dilma Bet Shammai let le mukseh. Maybe Bet Shammai doesn't hold of the laws of mukseh. What does that mean, doesn't hold the laws of mukseh? Masechet Shabbat discusses the laws of mukseh extensively. We never saw an opinion that doesn't hold the mukseh. So remember, we had a great mahalok between the Bishimon and the Biyuda. And the Gemara Shabbat said, Rabbi Yehuda eat le mukse, Rabbi Shimon let le mukse. Now, when the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon let le mukse, doesn't mean he doesn't hold of the concept of mukse. Of course he holds the concept of mukse, as we'll see, that even certain mukse Rabbi Shimon agrees to. It's just that he has more lenient opinion. There's certain cases that he holds that is okay. So the Gemara says that, what's the question? Maybe Bet Shammai subscribes to Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and just like in Masechet Shabbat, we learned that Rabbi Shimon let le mukse, and we're assuming let le mukse, any form of mukse, meaning including nolad, and therefore Bet Shammai's got no problem. Now, the actual case where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued on was in a case of a nir. He had a receptacle that had oil in it and a wick, and you lit it before Shabbat. Now, obviously, the nir is mukse as long as it's lit, because it's a fire. You can't move the fire on Shabbat. But the machloket is after it went out. And now it went out on Shabbat, obviously. Now there's a little extra oil. The Biyudah says, mukseh, you cannot touch that oil. Since it went into Shabbat mukseh, meaning off, it's not on your mind when it went into Shabbat, it was lit. Therefore, even if it goes out on Shabbat, the oil that's residual, you can't move it. It's mukseh. The Bishimon says no. When the guy lit it, he knows eventually it's going to go out. So his mind is, when it goes out, I'm going to use it. So there's one of the famous cases where the Bishimon and the Yehuda argue on the residual oil that comes out. So the Bishimon says, Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh. A person sits and anticipates when the candle is going to go out, and therefore you can use the oil. The Yehuda is Mahmir. That's what the Gemara says. The Bishimon, let the mukseh. For example, in that case, the Yehuda, eat the mukseh. So we're assuming when the Bishimon says no mukseh, he agrees also there's no mukseh in nolad. And therefore, that's the case. We have a chicken. The chicken is omed for its bitzim. And therefore, you're right. Even though the guy in his brain is not thinking about any eggs inside, he doesn't even know if there's an egg inside. And it was just nolad, it surfaced, it was born on Yom Tov. Bitch, I will say, okay. After all, I go like the Mishuan. I don't hold of mukse. Gemara says, oh, kalsal kadatain. At this point, we're thinking, afilu man deshari bimukse binolad asar. Now, at this point, we're saying, no. Even Rabbi Shimon, that is lenient in mukseh, but in nolad he's osir. As we said, Rabbi Shimon is lenient in mukseh, not every mukseh. Nolad is worse. You know why nolad is worse? Because it wasn't even there. In the case of the oil, the guy going into his way, he sees the oil in front of him, he knows that it's going to go out. And then in his mind, he says, when it goes out, I'm going to use it. But even Rabbi Shimon that was lenient by the oil case, could be he's mahmir by nolad. So we're back to a question then. If Rabbi Shimon, even the lenient opinion of by mukseh, says that nolad is asur, my tamayu de Bet Shammai, what's the reason of Bet Shammai? Why is the egg over there mutar, lechaurat should be asur? Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, le'olam betanigolet ha'omedet legedel betzim. Really, it's talking about a tanigolet that's standing to for the eggs. Udi'it le'mukseh, it le'nolad. V'delet le'mukseh, let le'nolad. And the Gemara says, yeah, our hava mina's wrong. Really, mukseh and nolad are the same. And therefore, the Bishimon that is lenient in mukseh, he's also lenient in nolad. And Bet Shammai subscribes to the Bishimon's opinion, and therefore, yes, even though this is a case of nolad, Tazmai is going to be lenient. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bet Shammai could be Shimon. Bet Shammai is going to agree to the Bishimon. Ubet Hillel could be Yehuda. Finish. And that's why, according to the Yehuda, this is considered full-fledged nolad. The Tanegol is omedet lebetzin. The guy in his mind going into Yom Tov was not thinking about this egg. He didn't even know if it was there. Now it surfaces and is laid on Yom Tov. So Bittah is going to say, this is the full-fledged Nolad. And I go with Rabbi Yehuda. If you hold the Mukseh, you hold the Nolad. So therefore, that's the Gemara's answer at this point, according to Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hacheh? That Rav Nachman actually say that Bet Hillel follows Rabbi Yehuda. That Bet Hillel is usually the lenient opinion. He's going to take Rabbi Yehuda in Mukseh that is Mahmir. Did Rav Nachman actually say that? Ba'atinan, we learned in the Mishnah. Bet Shammai Omrim, Magbihim Me'al Ashulhan, Atzamot VeKilipin. We're talking about over here, a person finished his dinner, let's say, on Shabbat, whatever the meal was. Now he has on the table atzamot v'kilipin, bones and kilipin shells of the food. They are the refuse of the food that he ate. So Beit Shammai says he could actually take the bones with his hands.
Right.
Take the bones and remove them off the table. You can't actually handle the bones and the shells directly, but you're able to shake the table and they'll fall, you know, by themselves. You want to clear the table. Now, this is Mahloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, the Rav Nachman on this Mishnah commented and said, "V'amar Rav Nachman, anu en lanu ela Beit Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda u'Beit Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon." The Rav Nachman comes along and says, "This Mishnah is inaccurate.
Wow.
We have the Shitot reversed, meaning our tradition is that it's actually Rabbi Beit Shammai that is the Mahmir in this Mishnah." That he says you cannot handle the atzamot and kilipin directly, and it is indeed Beit Hillel that's lenient. Meaning, we go that Beit Hillel follows the Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, you can actually move the bones directly, and Beit Shammai is the mahmir. And therefore, this is a direct question against Rav Nachman. You just told us, Rav Nachman, that Beit Hillel goes like Rabbi Yehuda. That Beit Hillel is the mahmir in Mukseh. You told me he holds of Mukseh, he holds of Nolad. What are you talking? Rav Nachman, you yourself, when we learned the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat, you reversed it. You told us that the Mishnah is inaccurate, and you said you have to reverse the Shitot, that indeed Beit Hillel is the opinion that says you can take the bones with your hands and move them off the table. So that's the Stira against Rav Nachman. Now, the question is over here, what type of bones are we talking about over here? Stam to understand the case in that Mishnah. So, according to the Tosafot, he understands that these bones over here are considered food for animals. And therefore the Bishamon is lenient because, again, when the person goes into Shabbat, he knows that what he's going to eat is going to turn into bones. That even though, at now going into Shabbat, it's not fit for animals yet, because it's fit for human consumption. But since he knows that it's going to come into fodder for the animals, so therefore the Bishamon is lenient, not even mukseh. I could pick up these bones and kilipin and feed it to the animals. That's the Bishamon's logic. Whereas the Biyuda says, no. Bottom line, since it went into Shabbat, non-fit for animals, now on Shabbat it becomes fit, it stays mukseh, which is the bones and the shells off limits. That's the way Tosfot understands. That she has a different understanding. He says, no, we're talking about bones and shells over here that are not even ra'ui for animals. Now all the rabbis ask on Shitat Rashi. Bones that are not even fit for animals, even Rabbi Shimon holds a mukseh. Because that's considered mukseh mahmad gufo. That has no function. Even Rabbi Shimon holds, again, he holds let le mukseh, but he does hold of certain concepts of mukseh. So how can Rashi, that's the answer. So the answer in Rashi is that what? That since it's disgusting to have all these bones on the table, so therefore the Bishimon will be lenient that what? Since it's mi'usov, it's disgusting not to keep them on the table, so therefore he allows you to take it off. So that's the way they answer Shitat Rashi. In any event, we have a contradiction in Rav Nachman. Now it should be noted, Tosfot also points out another question over here. According to the opinion that says you can shake the table, right? So obviously he's the Mahmir opinion, because he's saying you cannot come in contact directly with the bones and the shells. What do you mean? The table seemingly becomes what's called in halakha basis. A basis is a basis holding mukseh. Now we know that not only is mukseh asur, but the base of mukseh also becomes asur. So the Tosafot gives a few answers. He says one answer is, according to the Ben Utam, Rabbeinu Tam held that a basis is only when a person places it there with intention to leave it there for the whole Shabbat. That makes a basis. Here, when the guy put the bones on the table, of course he doesn't have intention to leave it there. That doesn't make it a basis. If we can shake it off. Secondly, on the table you have food. Besides the isur, you have eter, and therefore it's considered a basis. Vidvara isur, vidvara eter. And especially when the eter is more valuable than the isur, of course the food that's on the table has more value than the shells and the bones, so therefore you would have no problem of basis, and therefore they allow you to shake it off. In any event, the Gemara is asking a contradiction in Rav Nachman. How could you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda Bet Hillel is going like Rabbi Yehuda, you yourself are the one that said Bet Hillel is going like Rabbi Shimon. Gemara says, Amalekha Rav Nachman. Yabe Shabbat, the Stam Lantana Rabbi Shimon. Which means, let's say it outside. We have a rule like this, Halakha Kisetam Mishnah. When you have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah gives us a halakha, right? And there's no mahloket over here. Halakha says, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnayot, in order to give us a hint who he's going like in the halakha, he would write what's called a Setam Mishnah, which means he would write a certain halakha, and there's nobody arguing on it, and this would be the halakha. Now, in Masechet Shabbat, we have a Stam Mishnah. And what does it say in the Stam Mishnah? So it says that none. Mehatichin et adiluin lefnei habehema. Case number one. On Shabbat, you're allowed to cut the gourd in front of the animal to give it to him on Shabbat. Now the subject though is obviously we're talking about where the gourd was detached from the ground. Obviously it's asur to detach a gourd from the ground on Shabbat. It'll be tolesh. So what's the chiddush over here? So that she just says, not a mukseh issue. The issue is tirha shelo letzorech. Which is when you're cutting up the gourd, it's exertion. It takes a torah. So the first chiddush of the Mishnah is no, that to cut the gourd up into pieces to give it to the animal, it's not considered an additional torah, an exertion that was mutar on Shabbat. Next case of the Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah is ve'et nebela lefnei kilabim. Oh, it says that you have an animal that became a nevela. That means you had an animal that was alive, went into Shabbat alive. Okay? Now obviously a live animal, your mind is, you're not going to give it to the dogs. This is good. After Shabbat, I'll slaughter it, I'll eat it myself. So they put, you're not omit to give this animal to the dogs. What happened? On Shabbat, it died. Oh, in Shabbat it died. So now, Rabbi Shimon says, give it to the dogs. It's not mukseh. Oh, so you see over here, we have a Stam Mishnah that's allowing you to give a nevela that became a nevela on Shabbat. You're allowed to give it to the dogs. And that's a Stam Mishnah. So therefore what? On Shabbat we see the Biyudah Nasi was posek like the Bishimon. Now let's just read the Rashi. Ve'et nevela lefnei kilabim. The bottom Rashi on the daf. V'afapishinit nevela b'Shabbat. Even though it became a nevela on Shabbat, for example, the animal died on Shabbat. When it went into Shabbat, this animal was not omedet for feeding it to the dogs. Afilu hache shari. It's permissible. Delet lan mukse b'Shabbat. Hilka, kotri b'Shimon. Hilkach magbihin ma'ala shulchan. Therefore, that Mishnah that said, you're allowed to take the bones off the table. Rav Nachman said that's going like Bet Hillel. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we know Machloket Bet Hillel Bet Shammai. Who's the halakha like? Bet Hillel. So what Rav Nachman was saying is like this. We know already halakha follows Bet Hillel. And we know halakha also follows Stam Mishnah. And this Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. That is allowing you to take the nevela and give it to the dogs. So therefore Rav Nachman said, we want to put the halakhot together. I want to take Bet Hillel and put him with Rabbi Shimon. Halakha ke Bet Hillel, halakha ke Stam Mishnah. So therefore Rav Nachman says, in Masechet Shabbat, where we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon, so therefore I want to make all the opinions of Bet Hillel lefid halakha. So when I got to that Mishnah and you told me Bet Hillel is the opinion that says you can't pick up the bones, I said, no sir, you got it backwards. Bet Hillel is the opinion that you can't pick up the bones, because Stam Mishnah Rabbi Shimon and halakha Stam Mishnah. I don't want to make Bet Hillel, who the halakha is like him, and make contradicting a Stam Mishnah. So in Masechet Shabbat, Rav Nachman went out of his way to change Bet Hillel to put him like Rabbi Shimon. Let's read that in Nashi. Hilkach magbihin me'al shulchan, taking the bones off the table. They mighty be Shabbat mukim the Bet Hillel. The nimru ki Rabbi Shimon, I will say, is going like Rabbi Shimon. Ki hechi de lo tikshe ilcheta ilcheta. We don't want to ask a contradiction in the halachot. Why? The kaimalan halacha kestam mishnah. The kaimalan halacha Bet Hillel. Abal kabe yom tov dashkan stam ki Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see now in yom tov, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda.
So for some reason on Yom Tov,
it's different than Shabbat.
It's more mahmid than Shabbat. And therefore the Stam Mishnah on Yom Tov is Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, it's very good. We're going to say that of Nachman, since he had a Stam Mishnah Masech in Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to put Bet Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Halakha Kestam Mishnah, Halakha Kebet Hillel. So basically, Rabbi Nachman was following a formula. Whatever my Stam Mishnah is, I want to make Bet Hillel like the Stam Mishnah. So in Masechet Shabbat, my Stam is like Rabbi Shimon. Put Bet Hillel like Rabbi Shimon. In Yom Tov, my Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Put Bet Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda. The only question is, why? You know, why over here you Mahmid and why over there Mekir? That's the Gemara's next, the Gemara's question. Aval, continue. Aval. So again, Mukim Na Bet Hillel, Rabbi Shimon. Aval, Gabe Yom Tov. The Stam Lan Tana Rabbi Yehuda. By Yom Tov we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? What does it say? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. En Mebakeim Etzim Min HaKorot. You're not allowed to take wood from the piles of wood that you have piled from before Yom Tov to use them as fuel. Now what's the reason? Because these pieces of wood over here are Omed for building purposes. When a person piles them up, that means he's using it for construction. Right. It's not in the guy's mind to use wood for construction for fuel. Now I want you to know, this first opinion is going to everybody. Even Rabbi Shimon, that's lenient in Mukseh, he holds of a Mukseh of Hesaron Kis. Hesaron Kis is something that's very valuable, that a person will not use it for anything else but its purpose. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it is Mukseh. So this case of the Mishnah is actually going like everybody, because this is Hesaron Kis over here. That's why a guy's not going to use good plywood that he could use for construction to throw it in the fire as fuel. But the next case of the Mishnah says the following. Velo minakora shenishpera biyom tov. Furthermore, a piece of wood that broke on Yom Tov, Mukseh. Who's that going like? Rabbi Yehuda. Because since it went into Yom Tov, Mukseh, right? I don't care if it now broke. Once it breaks, it really doesn't come valuable anymore for building. Right. But still, Rabbi Yehuda says, since it went in, it's going to be Mukseh. So you see what? You see, according to the Stam Mishnah by Yom Tov, we're going like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Mukim la lebet Hillel ki Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gabe Yom Tov, Rav Nachman put Bet Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Mechti. Hold it. Let's analyze. Man stame lematnitin. Who's the author of the Mishnayot that made the Stam Mishnayot? Rabbi. The same rabbi. Same rabbis that made the Mishnayot in Shabbat, made the Mishnayot in Yom Tov. Maishin abe Shabbat the stamlan can be Shimon, or Maishin abe Yom Tov the stamlan can be Yehuda.
What made them change?
What made him change to be Yehuda? Why did, when it came to Shabbat, Mekel? Go like Rabbi Shimon, we don't go like Mukseh. When it came to Yom Tov, stamlan can be Yehuda. What's the difference? Why Shabbat you Mekel, and Yom Tov you Mahmir? On the contrary, seemingly, Shabbat is more Hamur. We know Shabbat is punishable by Sekilah and Karet. Yom Tov is only punishable by Malkut. Right. So therefore, if there's any place we should be Mahmir by Shabbos. Shabbat. The Gemara says, for that exact reason, that's why we make him. Why? Amre, the people are going to say like this, Shabbat de Hamira, since Shabbat we know is Hamur. Shabbat's got a Sikila punishment, it's got a Karet punishment. People are not going to come to be Mizalzel, not going to come to be mistreated, because they know how severe it is. Therefore, you can be lenient and you can trust them that they're not going to take these leniencies further. How Satam land can be Shimon the Mekel. So he went like Rabbi Shimon, that's lenient. Yom Tov dekil. Yom Tov because it's lenient. Right. Meaning it's only punishable by Malkut. And you have things you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Ochel nefesh is permissible. So already the attitude in people's minds is, hey, Yom Tov is not so serious. If we're going to be more lenient now in the laws of Mukseh, they're going to take it to another level. Therefore, Satam land can be Yehuda de Mahmir. Therefore, he felt Rabbi Yehuda that is. So let's just review what exactly happened in this Gemara. The Gemara started off trying to understand what's the case of our Mishnah. Betzah shenolda biyom tov. What's the case? So the Gemara comes out, it's talking about a Betzah that's omed at the gadel Betzim. And according to Bet Shammai, let le mukseh. And when we say let le mukseh, he doesn't hold of even nolad. And therefore,
even though this is a classical case of Nolad, it wasn't there before Yom Tov, and it just surfaced on Yom Tov, and your mind really wasn't on it. Doesn't matter. Bet Shammai is going to say, Te'achel, no problem. Because he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now that's by Yom Tov. And Bet Hillel is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Yom Tov. By Yom Tov. And that's why the egg is going to be Nolad, and it was going to be Asur. And that same Rav Nachman, however, by Masechet Shabbat, said that on Shabbat, Rabbi Shimon and Bet Hillel are in the same Shita. Why? Because Shabbat, you can afford to be lenient. Because since in the people's minds, they know Shabbat is so stringent in the Talakot, you can be lenient to them, not worrying that they're going to take it to another level of Isur. So that's basically the Gemara's answer now. Now, I want to point out, Tosfot over here has a very interesting question. Tosfot says that in the case where the plank broke on Yom Tov, so you wanted to tell me, according to the Yehuda, Mukseh, since it went into the Yom Tov Mukseh, so now that it broke, cannot change its status. Kevan did katzai ben Hashem Ashot, it katzai lekul yomah, since it was Mukseh ben Hashem Ashot going in, so the whole day good. Now this implies that the Mishnah will say it's okay. Now comes to Tosfot says, hold it. Rabbi Shimon only was lenient in a case where you can anticipate something happening. For example, in the case of the oil, you know that eventually the candle is going to go out.
Yeah.
A candle eventually extinguishes. So they were going into Shabbat, he's thinking, when it goes out, I'll use it. But if you have a perfectly fit beam, right? And now it breaks on Yom Tov. Do we say that the guy going into Yom Tov had in his mind, when it breaks, I'm going to use it?
No.
Jeez, that's not... Gemara over there answers that the animal was talking about was a sick animal. We already were able to anticipate. But over here, what are you going to say with the beam? So Tosfot says, similarly, you have to say that the beam was a weak beam going into Yom Tov, where if it broke on Yom Tov, it just didn't break from nothing. It must have broke because it was weak going in. So therefore, you could say in the Bishamon, he was anticipating it. That's why he holds it's not. Comes the Gemara and continues. Bemai ukimta. How did you establish our Mishnah? Betanegolet ha'omedet legadel betzim. You want to say it's a tanegolet that's omedet legadel betzim. Umishum mukseh. And the whole issue of the Mishnah is Bet Shammai says not mukseh. Bet Hillel says mukseh. So that's really the machlok that you're trying to teach us over here. If that's the case, Adem palge bebetza. Instead of giving me the machloket on the egg that comes out of the chicken, liflegu betarnegolet. Just give me the case of the chicken, which means you didn't need to go to the egg. Which means if the egg, the chicken itself is omed, legadel betzim. If you don't hold the mukseh like Bet Shammai, the chicken is permissible. If you hold like Bet Hillel that there is mukseh, the chicken is forbidden, which is why did you have to jump to the case of the egg? You could have made your point just as well from the chicken.
Yeah.
Again, what's the mahluk of Bet Shammai Bet Hillel? Do you hold the mukseh or don't you hold the mukseh? Good. So you needed the egg to prove this point? The chicken was just as good to prove it, which means it's a chicken that's mukseh with, because it's omed legadel betzim. If you don't hold the mukseh like Bet Shammai, mutar. If you hold the mukseh like Bet Hillel, it says so. So why jump to the case of the egg? So comes the Gemara and says, the acha kohan de Bet Shammai. He's coming to teach you the strength of the argument of Bet Shammai. That what? De binolad shareh. It's coming to tell you that what? If it just would have taught us by the chicken, so I would say, okay, the chicken is here. So bottom line, if you don't love the mukseh, you can use the chicken. But maybe Nolad is worse. Nolad wasn't here. I would say maybe even Bet Shammai agrees that Nolad is Asur. So that's why it gave me the case of the egg to tell me how lenient Bet Shammai was. That not only is he lenient by the chicken, but he's even lenient by the egg, where it's a Nolad, where it wasn't there. And therefore it's a Hadush, why he gave the case of the egg. Leodiacha kohan de Bet Shammai. So the Gemara says, hold it. Can give me the case of the chicken again. Kohan to mukse asre. She give me the other side. Tell me how strict Bet Hillel is. Which, if you tell me the machlok is in the case of the chicken, you're going to show me that Bet Hillel is not only mahmir by nolad. That's for sure. But he's even mahmir to say it's mukse by the actual chicken that was there. Which means just like you're showing me the strength of Bet Shammai, I can show you the strength of Bet Hillel on the mahmir side. That Gemara says, "Vehi tema koach dehetera adif." We normally have a rule that if we want to point out a side of a mahloket, it's always better to point out the more lenient opinion. Why? Because it's much harder to be lenient than it is to be mahmir. To be mahmir, anybody can say asur. But to say mutar, then already you have to have, you know, you have to have proofs, you have to have rayot, you have to have logic. So therefore, I'll tell you like this. You know why I want to give Bet Shammai's Hiddush? He's the matir over here. I want to show you not how mahmir Bet Hillel is. Mahmir, everybody can say asur. I want to tell you the case of the egg, to show you that even in the case of Nolad, Bet Shammai is matir. That's why I gave you the case of the egg. So the Gemara says, wait, v'niflog b'tarvayu. Which means, if that was the case really, the Mishnah, without using too many extra words, could have given me both cases. And could have said like this, tanegolet ha'omedet legadel betzim, hi u'betzata. And we could have gave the cases regarding the chicken itself and the betza. Bet Shammai omrim ta'achel, or Bet Hillel omrim lo ta'achel. Which means really the Mishnah could have given us the Hiddush of Bet Hillel as well as the Hiddush of Bet Shammai. Now normally the Gemara doesn't do this, but since you didn't have to add too many extra words to the Mishnah, and you'd be able to get the koach of Bet Hillel of the Mahmir as well as the koach of the Matir, why not do that? And how would you do that? Let the Mishnah say, "Tanegolet that's omedet lebetzata." Good. He, tanegolet ubetzata, Bet Shammai ta'acher, Bet Hillel lo ta'acher. And I'm getting everything now. I'm getting the fact that Bet Hillel is so mahmir, even on the chicken, and I'm getting Bet Shammai that's so mekel, even by the egg, which is nolad. And because of this question, the Gemara rejects the entire interpretation. Because if that was the answer of the Mishnah, that was a tamnegola, ta'omed, the gadil betzim, the Mishnah would have wrote it differently. And from the fact that it didn't, that is not the case of the Mishnah. So now we're back to the original question. What type of tanegolet are we talking about where Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel argued? Ela, again, Ela is always a rejection. Ela maraba le'olam betanegolet ha'omedet la'achila. Oh, now we're talking about really what's omedet la'achila. Now we ask the question on this on Daf Bet, on Amud Rishon. We said if it's omedet la'achila, so then the egg that comes out is food that came out of food. That's like a slice of bread. And therefore, why should Bet Hillel, even if he's mahmir on Mukseb, on Yom Tov, why should he be mahmir by the case of the egg that comes out of the chicken that's omedet la'achila? So the Gemara says, no, ubi Yom Tov, shechal liyot, achar Shabbat askina. The Mishnah is talking about a specific case. When we said betza shenoda bi Yom Tov, it's not just a regular Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov that falls out on a Sunday. Which means the Yom Tov was preceded by a Shabbat. Oh, so what? Umishum hachana. The issue is over here, hachana, which literally means preparation. Rabbah, as we're going to see immediately, has a very interesting opinion. His position is as follows. Any seudah that's considered a seudah hashuva, seudah hashuva would mean like the seudah of Yom Tov, or the seudah of Shabbat. So you need to actually prepare the food and designate it verbally by saying, this food over here is for Yom Tov, or this food over here is for Shabbat. Now, he derives from Pesukim that this preparation for food for Yom Tov can only be done from a weekday. Which means, Yom Tov is on Monday, so Sunday, which is a weekday, chol mechin leShabbat. However, Yom Tov or Shabbat is not mechin for Yom Tov. Meaning on Shabbat, you're not allowed to prepare. Not only cook, we know you can't cook. That's for sure you can't cook. We're talking about even verbally prepare the food and say, this food over here is now for Yom Tov. The preparation of the food, the designation of the food, has to be done from Chol to Yom Tov, or Chol to Shabbat. And since in the case of the Mishnah, the case is talking about Yom Tov that fell after Shabbat, so now the egg hatched, or not hatched, the egg was laid on Yom Tov. But we have a rule. Any egg that was laid on, let's say, Yom Tov, it was finished in the mother's womb 24 hours before.
Yeah.
Which is the egg in its process of becoming an egg, it finishes on the day before, and then it takes a day, let's say, for it to come out. And therefore, in this case of it, when was the egg prepared?
Shabbat.
On Shabbat.
Probably.
Oh, you cannot have preparation on Shabbat for Yom Tov. Which is, if the case was talking about Yom Tov was on a Monday and the egg came out on a Monday,
no problem.
So Sunday was chol. The egg became finished in the mother's womb on a Sunday, chol, no problem. However, since we're talking about a specific case of Sunday Yom Tov, obviously followed by a Shabbat, that's the problem. Now, where does Rabbah learn this Hiddush over Hachanan? Incidentally, in Shas, they call this concept Hachana de Rabbah, the halakha, the preparation of Rabbah. Vekasama Rabbah holds kol betza dimit yaleda ha'idana, any egg that's hatched or born today, mi'itmol gamrala, it was finished the day before. Verabah le'ta'ame te'amar Rabbah, my dichtiv, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk by the man, Vehaya bayom ashishi, on Friday, vechinu et asher yabiu, they will prepare on Friday what they're going to bring on Shabbat, which means they're going to have to prepare the man on Friday for Shabbat. Now, obviously, Rashi points out this is not referring to preparing the food by cooking it or baking it, etc., because the pasuk clearly says et asher efu v'tasher tebashelu bashelu. So the Torah already tells us you obviously have to cook the food on Friday. So what is this designation of preparing it in what sense? So that she learned it's a verbal preparation where you're coming along and saying this food over here is for Shabbat. Chol mechin l'Shabbat. Now in the case of the Torah, Yom HaShishi was what? A regular chol, wasn't it Yom Tov?
Yeah.
Because that's the normal case of a Friday. And therefore, chol mechin l'Shabbat. A week they can prepare for Shabbat. The chol mechin l'Yom Tov. And for that matter, chol can prepare for Yom Tov. Ve'en Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbat. Ve'en Shabbat mechina l'Yom Tov. So that's the case, which is he learns it from a pasuk in the Torah. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, ve'echinu. See Rashi ve'echinu? Actually, let's read the Rashi. Dechol betzad mityaleda ha'idana. Any egg that's born today, me'etmol gamrala, ba'afal gav dibide shamayim hu, which means, who prepared the egg? Hashem prepared the egg, which means we're not in control of the
man.
Of the, not the man, oh, we're not in control of the egg in the chicken's embryo, in the chicken's womb. So even though the hachana was done bide shamayim, still Rava says, it's asur. Asur de ba'inan kol se'udot Shabbat ve'se'udot Yom Tov shiu mezumanot u'mukhrum be'ojom shel chol. Again, fact, new hadush. The se'udot of Shabbat and Yom Tov, which are se'udot chashuvot, they have to be already designated and prepared the day before on a chol. Ve'rabah de'asar b'chana shena b'yadayim ma'ash. Where do you see that Rabah? It's all said even, verbal, if you would verbally designate the food. ותעמד אמר הבא בפסחים וידית מאחר דמוקסה דאורייתא, right? And learn over action that מוקסה דאורייתא, because we're learning it from פסוקים. והכינו והזמינו כגון, what did he do? מכאן אני אוכל למחר. Because you have to actually go before the Shabbat on hold. I'm eating from this food מחר. דאי מישהו מכנה בידיים. Maybe the pasuk was telling me no. Prepare it, meaning cook it and bake it. She says no. ולומר שיופו ויבשלו בעוד יום בעד יקטיב את אשר תופו איפה? אל הזמנה בפק כמה נוכתיב ביום השישי וסתם שישי חולו. Correct? A normal Friday is chol. ועכשווה רחמנה לסעודת שבת שזמינו בעוד יום ובחול. And therefore next Rashi, אין יום טוב מכין לשבת. יום טוב cannot prepare for שבת. ויום טוב נמק קרוי שבת. יום טוב is also called a שבת. So therefore it's the same. יום טוב and שבת are equal in this הלכה. ובעיה סעודתו הזמנה. והזמנתה בחול. And the הזמנה is going to be on the hall. Now, that she's going to ask the question. Why don't you take it a step further? Maybe you'll tell me even my weekday meal, meaning a regular Sunday, Shabbat, an egg was born on a Sunday. Okay? Sunday's chol. hey, Shabbat prepared me for the Sunday. So maybe that should be a suit as well. So that she said, but Seudat Chol lo hashiva. Seudat Chol is not a hashuv Seuda, but lo shaykha be'hazmana, which means only on Seudat Hashuvot you need a designation. Hilkach be'ahad b'Shabbat be'alma, on a regular Sunday, let al mesar b'tzashinol da b'mishuv de'etkan b'de shamayim. This Seudat Chol lo itzlecha rahmana zimun b'be'ojob de'lo shaykh be'mukseh. There's no mukse on chol, and therefore, and it's not a seudah hashuvah. That'll be preparation. So this law only applies to Shabbat and Yom Tov. That before has to come from a chol. So now we go back. What's the case of our Mishnah? When you're learning the Mishnah, mitzah shenodah b'yom tov, we narrow the case down. It's a Yom Tov shechal liyot achar Shabbat. It's actually talking about a chicken that's omedet la'achila, and still we're saying what? It's going to be mukseh according to Beit Hillel. Why? Because according to Rabbah, bottom line, the Shabbat prepared it. Even though this was designated min hashamayim, you didn't do anything. But it doesn't matter. The hakana of the egg, when it became edible, it was on Shabbat. Shabbat cannot mechin for Yom Tov. That's the reason. So the Gemara says, Abaye asked the question over here. Gemara says, Amar le'Abaye. Ela me'ata, according to what you're saying, Yom Tov be'alma tishtiri, which is a regular Yom Tov, which is a Yom Tov on a Monday. A betzah shenolda on a regular Yom Tov should be mutar. Why? Because when was it prepared? On the Sunday before. The Sunday before was chol.
Okay.
So what's Abaye's question? Abaye had a tradition already from Rabbah that when it says in the Mishnah, betzah shenolda be'yom tov, it's all Yom Tovs. Not only Yom Tov after Shabbat, but even on a regular Yom Tov. Uh-huh. So he was asking a question, hey, if that's the logic, why then is our tradition that every Betzah Shenol Dabi Yom Tov is Asur? You see, Abaye knew already his facts. He knew that Yom Tov Ragil, in the middle of the week, it's Asur. But he was asking Rabbah, hey, if that's the reason of your Isur, Lechaura on a regular Yom Tov that's not preceded by a Shabbat, it should be mutar. To that, Rabbi answers, Gezera mishum Yom Tov ahara Shabbat. Gezera. You're right, it's only Yisum with Rabbanan. We're going to osir a betzah on a regular Yom Tov, add to a case where it's going to be Yisum de Oraita. Yeah. On a case of Yom Tov ahara Shabbat. Yeah. So therefore, when you read our Mishnah, betzah shenodah b'Yom Tov, it's written about all Yom Tovs, but there's a difference. Betzah shenodah b'Yom Tov ahara Shabbat, that's what Yisud Oraita, because Shabbat is being mechin for Yom Tov. However, on a regular Yom Tov, in the middle of the week, that's going to be a Gezerah Atu. I mean, if I let you eat the egg on Tuesday, Yom Tov, you might come to eat it on Sunday, Yom Tov. Yes. And therefore, we make a Gezerah. So the Gemara asks a similar question. Shabbat da'alma tishtiri. All right, well, if that's the case, on a regular Shabbat, it should be permissible as well. Because Friday, the egg was finished, Friday's chol, so the Kaurei should be able to eat the egg on a regular Shabbat. Gibran says, you're right. Gizram Mishum Shabbat Ahar Yom Tov. We're worried about a case of Shabbat that follows Yom Tov. It's in the case where Yom Tov is on a Friday, so therefore the Shabbat egg is going to be Asur Deoraita. So therefore the rabbis were really osir two extra cases. The Deoraita case is what? Yom Tov on Sunday or Yom Tov on Friday. Both those cases are Asur Deoraita.
Right.
Because Shabbat is preparing for Yom Tov, and Yom Tov is preparing for Shabbat. Yeah. However, if there's a, if it's Chol, meaning Friday is Chol, then it'll be technically Minat Torah permissible, but the rabbis made a Gezerah, as well as the case of Yom Tov also during the week. Comes the Gemara and says, Umi Gazrinan. Do we make such a Gezerah that we're going to say that a regular Yom Tov is going to be Asur, Atu, a regular Yom Tov that comes after Shabbat? Do we make such a Gezerah? Ve'hatanya, we have a Braita. Hashochet et ha-tarnigolet. The person slaughters a tarnigolet, a chicken, on Yom Tov. Umatza ba-bitzim gimurot. And in the chicken's stomach, on the inside of the chicken, you found already eggs that were complete. Okay, they weren't laid. You caught them when they were still in the stomach of the chicken. Mutarot le'ochlan biyom tov. It's permissible to eat those eggs on Yom Tov. So the Gemara is ve'im ita. And if you tell me, you make a gezerah.
Mm-hmm.
Regular Yom Tov to Yom Tov lachar Shabbat. Ligzor mishum hanag demit yaldan biyomeon. We should make a gezerah to the eggs that are born on that day, on Yom Tov itself. Which means, you're telling me over here that it's mutar. If I made shechita, there's eggs in there, eat them. What do you mean? I thought you make a gezerah. Now, before we can understand exactly this question, you have to know exactly what the case is. Now, if we're talking about a case over here where it's just a regular Yom Tov, now you slaughter a chicken that's omed la'achila, there is no problem to eat this egg. This egg is still considered part of the animal. It's a limb of the animal. Therefore, there's no issue of mukseh over here. There's really no issue of any isur of mukseh at all. When you slaughter the animal, just like you can eat the liver of the chicken, you can eat the egg. The egg is still considered attached to the animal. That's why there's no problem over here of mukseh and hachana issues. However, the Gemara is asking a question. The Chaura, we should make a gezerah that this case should be forbidden to a case where, let's say, it was laid on Yom Tov. Now, if it's laid on Yom Tov, then already you have a problem. But hold it. The only problem you have on a regular Yom Tov is a gezerah atu a case where it's Yom Tov Ahar Shabbat. So if anything, this question of the Gemara is a gezerah le gezerah. We have a rule. Rabbis, they tell us what's assumed the Torah, and then they'll make a gezerah fence to protect the Torah law. The pasuk says va'asu mishmeret lemishmarti. That's a Torah concept to make these fences. Make a fence for my protect my protection, so to speak. So the Torah says asur. For example, the Torah says Yom Tov lachar Shabbat asur. The rabbis came along and said, you know what? We can even say a regular Yom Tov is asur. Now the Gemara is asking a third question. Even on a regular Yom Tov, where the egg wasn't laid, you slaughtered the chicken, where there should be no problem to eat the egg at all, because it's part of the chicken. It's considered one of its limbs.
Right.
Still, we should oseret gezerah to a case where it was born on Yom Tov, and that's a sur gezerah to a case where it's Yom Tov Ahar
Shabbat.
That's a gezerah. So that she asked this question. So that she said, no, the case is talking about over here, where it was Yom Tov Ahar Shabbat. That's you have to say the case, because when the Gemara said chicken that you slaughtered, it didn't tell us when. It could be even a Yom Tov that's Ahar Shabbat. So now the Gemara's question is like this: it's a Sunday. Yom Tov is a Sunday. Oh, so we should say like this: we know already that Sunday is Asur Minatora. Why? Because Hachana was done on Shabbat and in Shabbat Mechin Yom Tov. So all we're asking is, that's Isur Torah. We should oser, even the case where you slaughtered, where it wasn't born.
Right.
So you don't have a problem of Hachana. You slaughtered, lechare mutar to eat it because it's considered part of the chicken. There's no Isur of eating it, it's considered one of the limbs. We should oser that case, gezerah, to the case where it was born. That's one gezerah. To that, the Gemara says, "Amar le betzim gemurot b'me'e iman milta de la shchihahi u'milta de la shchiha lo gazu barabanan." To slaughter a chicken and find a complete egg in the chicken's stomach, it's not prevalent. It's rare. It might happen. So to make a gezerah on a rare occurrence, up to a case where it was laid on Yom Tov, that already is a gezerah that is far-fetched. And therefore, we're not going to go so far to say you can't eat the egg that you find in the chicken. Because really, it's mutar. Again, it's not no yet of nulad over there. Just like I can eat the liver of the chicken, I can eat the egg of the chicken. I slaughtered it. It's considered meat of the chicken.
Right.
But the hadush, I'm not going to make a gezerah that case. If I let you do this case, you might come to eat the chicken when it was laid. The egg when it was laid. That's a sumna Torah. Nah, what are the odds that you're going to slaughter a chicken and find an egg? It's miltad lo shchicha. Therefore, miltad lo shchicha lo gazru be rabbana. Let's just read the last rashi there. Veim tomah vehatanya. ומי גזלינן ומי אחמור הבנם בביצע למגזר היתרה משום מסורה. Did the rabbis גוזר something that's mutar to make it asur? When you want to tell me on a regular Yom Tov, the rabbis forbade it. Add to the case of Doraita. Did they do that? No. ואתניה, ואם תאמר, אביה לגזרה לגזרה. She's asking this question. דהרק תמיטל דם ביומי הון, נמי אין הנסורות, אלא משום גזרה דיום טוב אחר השבת. תריץ, המציל לוקמי ביום טוב אחר השבת. We can say the case is טוב ביום טוב אחר השבת. תהשת איקה למגזר, עד תוענק תמיטל דם ביומי הון, והרשמין נהק מנעיתין, דאפילו ביום טוב אחר השבת, מותרות הועיל ואינם נולדות, ומשום הרק תמיטל דם נקה למגזר, דמיטל דושכיחה הוא. בשם רבנו. והדאמין מכל השעה שאין גוזים גזרה לגזרה. How do we know that you don't make
take a gezerah to a gezerah. Mehay kira nafka u'shmartem et mishmarti. Asu mishmeret kelomar. Gezerah le'mishmarti le'torati. Ve'lo mishmeret le'mishmeret. Don't make a gezerah to the gezerah. Make a mishmeret to my Torah. But not a mishmeret to the mishmeret. Shelo yasu gezerah le'gezerah. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.